This free MP3 is brought to you by HappyWife.com to help you create the marriage of your dreams.
So I want to welcome you tonight. My name is Ari Pamensky, and I want to welcome you tonight to the How to Make a Good Marriage Great program. And we're going to get started right from the very beginning. You know, it's an amazing thing about relationships, but relationships are the one area in life where people honestly think that they're going to figure it out as they go along. You know what I'm talking about? It's like you start dating and you say, well, I don't really understand what I'm doing, but I kind of like it. And then it doesn't work out so well. And then you date, you have long-term dating, and it doesn't work out. You try to figure, all of a sudden you find yourself in a marriage and you say, you know what, I'll figure it out. It'll start working itself out. And the longer you're married and you keep on going on this relationship, you figure that in a relationship, you're going to figure it out as you go along. You know, what's your name? Louis, you ever want to learn how to fly? The answer is yes, Louis. Say yes. Yeah, so you want to learn how to fly. So, you know, I have a flight school. That's what I do in my part-time. So I have a little Cessna airplane, and this is the way I teach people how to fly. I take you up in my plane, and I sort of give you the rudimentary understanding of how to make this thing float, so you could sort of keep it afloat. And then when I see that you're sort of somewhat independent, what do? Put a parachute on, jump out, and I go, Louis, good luck! You gonna join my flight school? The answer is no. Why not? What's missing?
Training.
Instructions. Where's the instructions? To teach me how to fly, teach me how to take off, teach me how to land, teach me how to work this plane. You know, I was in Toronto, and I was teaching, giving this program, and there's a guy sitting right about there, and when I was talking about this, he started chuckling, and it was disturbing me a little bit. So I turned to him and I said, why are you chuckling? And he said, you know what, because I'm a pilot for Air Canada. He flies the jumbo jets. That's what he said. And I said, really? Yeah. So tell me, is it complicated? He says, yeah, but it's simple compared to marriage. Completely simple. He said, where's the instruction manual? Well, what we're going to be doing here is we're going to be using the instruction manual. It's actually a 3,500-year-old instruction manual for marriage. And we're going to give lots of ideas, and I'm going to give you a new model, a new way to look at a relationship using this model. And it's all predicated really on one main truth. And that truth, if we can remember this truth of relationships, not only will you change your marriage, the benefits have been that it's changed people's relationships with their children, sons and daughters, with their co-workers, with their siblings, with their parents, basically all different types of relationships. If you can remember this one truth. You know what it is? It's quite simple. Men and women are
different.
Different. Unbelievably different. Incredibly different. How different are we? Very different. Very, very, very different. But how different? Everybody here is married, pretty much, I think, or pretty close to it. How long have you been married? I'm just going to go around the room a little bit, and don't worry, I'll ask the wives. Yeah. 7 years?
Almost 20.
Almost 20 years? Wow. Almost 20 years?
Almost 10.
Almost 10? It's like kids. You ask them how old they are. I'm almost 3. You say 9 years? Yep.
8 months.
That's almost a year. So you know what? A lot of what we're going to be talking about in this program over the next 8 weeks, for you guys, is still theory. Don't worry. It's going to be kicking in real soon. Yeah.
Just over a year.
Same goes for years. Still the honeymoon. Yeah. 2 years?
Almost 14 years.
Anybody been married more than 20 years? How long?
21.
Anybody longer than that? 26 years. Wowee. Anybody longer than that? So 26 and 21. You guys are our sages for this program. So tons of marriage experience in this room. Couple hundred years of experience. So what I would want to know, what are the differences between men and women? What do you think they are?
Well, for starters, the physical difference.
All right, that's a good start.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm with you. You got to start somewhere. Let me just make sure everybody... Let's make sure everybody's in agreement here. Everybody agree that men and women are different physically. They didn't sound so sure, actually. We can't go much further unless that one's... Everyone agree, are men and women different physically? All right, yeah, obviously. Good. We're on the same page. Some of the other differences. Yeah. Emotionally. Men and women different emotionally. For example... I didn't like that pause. Not sure what that meant there. We think with our hearts and men think with their minds. Okay. So we agree with that? Agree? Disagree? Okay. Some disagreement. Some of the other differences. Get someone else. Some of the other differences? Men can do one thing at a time, and women can multitask. Agree?
Yes.
Disagree?
Disagree.
You disagree? All right. That's fair. You can disagree. Some of the other differences?
Women get pregnant.
And men don't. All right. Women get pregnant. That's good. Very good. That's true. So what I'd like to do is I would like to share with you what I believe is the difference between men and women as it pertains to the relationship, which includes every one of the differences that you brought up. And for those of you who are at the introduction, you know the answer. Men and women are different. How are they different? Women are relationship beings. Men are
not.
Women are relationship beings. The essence of who they are is built in their relationships, around their relationships. You know, when I used to give this program in the beginning, I actually started around my kitchen table, four couples, five couples, about 5 years ago. And when I used to do it with the smaller groups, used to have, you know, 14 people, 10 people, 14 people, 20 people. And what would happen is I would split them up at this point, and I would say, okay, women, you're going to go in one room, men, you're going to go in another room. And then I'm going to give you a task. I actually did this with your group last week, right? 2 weeks ago. I did it with this group. It's the first time in about 3 or 4 years I've done it, and it worked. The same thing happened. Put the women in one room, the men in the other room, and I gave them a task. The task was to find the ideal marriage, the ideal husband, the ideal wife. Put them about 10 minutes or so. And then what happens is I call them back in. I ask the women, you have a spokeswoman. Yeah, what's your name? Barbara, great. And you have a spokesman. What's your name? Bob? Great. Bob, do you mind if ladies go first? No? Okay, great. Barbara. So tell me, what'd you come up with? But before Barbara would tell me what they came up with, I would say, wait a second. Remember, they didn't know each other, just like you guys don't know each other. I would say, Barbara, what's her name? She'd, oh, her name's Sue. How many kids does she have? Three. What schools do they go to? Well, they go to this school, that school. What's her name? Her name's Jennifer. How many kids does she have? Well, they don't have any kids. And I look over at Bob, and Bob is sweating buckets going, wait a minute, that wasn't one of the questions. Because what do men do? They look at the task and they say, one, two, three. Task is done. Then what do they talk about?
Sports
or?
Business.
Politics. Who knows? When I talk to singles groups, they always go sports and sex, women. You get married, it then turns into sports and business. I don't understand. So we talked about it, and it happened last week as well when we did this. Sports, and they sort of, they didn't care about each other's names unless it has to do with networking. All right, unless it's networking. How can I? So women are relationship beings. Men are not. Last week, I was on my way to Pittsburgh, and I'm sitting in the airport lobby, and this guy's sitting next to me, he has a newspaper, And he leaves the newspaper, one section of the newspaper right next to me. And he gets up and he gets on his plane. I look down. I'm a guy. I can't resist. What section of the paper is it? Wheels, Mega Wheels, something to do with cars. I can't resist. I pick it up. I start looking at it. This is what was written in the newspaper. It's a guy writing an article about cars. He went to test drive the new Mercedes S600 car. Apparently it's the car of cars. $180,000 automobile. It has absolutely every technological marvel in the automotive world is in this car. And he was so excited. He loves cars. This guy loves cars so much. He flew to Germany when the very first model rolled off of the production line. He got to go in that car and test drive with a bunch of other reporters. And he's describing the experience. And I want to show you what a guy who's not a relationship being, how he describes this experience. I'm going to read you directly. This is from Sindelfingen, Germany. Taking delivery of your factory fresh Mercedes-Benz, all seems right with the world. The mind is momentarily cleared of broader concerns. War is giving way to peace. Famines are ending. You hear what this guy? He's having a sublime moment. Somehow he envisioned perfection to the degree where his mind has expanded so much that he can experience a world without hunger, a world without war. Look at the next line. Somewhere war is giving way to peace. Famines are ending. Divorces are amicable. Divorces are amicable? This is what he says? He can't envision a world where men and women get together so they won't have to get divorced? To a man, that's not. The world of relationships is so beyond him in every capacity. Yeah, if we can have a world where, you know, divorces are amicable, that's a pretty good thing, don't you think? Men are not. So women are relationship beings, men are not. Now all of a sudden we have this weird thing where we have to have a relationship with a relationship being in her primary relationship, her most important relationship, the relationship that's supposed to satisfy her more than any other relationship, and who's she with? A not. She's with a person who's not a relationship being. Who, I hate to use the term, but who has an upper hand? Who has the upper hand in this relationship? What do I mean by the upper hand? Who understands the world of relationships more? Who's more in tune with what's going on in the relationship? Whose needs are deeper within that relationship? Woman or the man? The relationship being or the not? Of course, the woman, the relationship being. So now you've got to appreciate, women, that for a man, being in a relationship with the relationship being, that's tough. In a sense, it's foreign territory. It's, in a sense, it's a strange world to be in a relationship with a relationship being. So what does a man need to be in a relationship with a woman? Lots of help. I'm with you, pal. We need help. It's what I like to call a job. We need a job. What's my job description? Tell me what to do. What do I do in this relationship with a relationship being? Instruction. Why? Men need a job. We need a job. So, gentlemen, what's your job? To be a mind reader. Sometimes. What's your job? It's very simple. Your job is to make your wife happy. Your job is to make the woman happy. When? All the time. All the time means? All the time. You wake up in the morning, you say, thank God I'm alive. Make my wife happy. Go downstairs, you say, what am I going to have for breakfast? Cornflakes. Make my wife happy. You drive to the other place, you think that's your job when you're there, but what's your job while you're there, really? Make my wife happy. Come home from work, make my wife happy. Go to bed at night, make my wife happy. Your job is to make your wife happy. When?
All the time.
All the time means all the time. Now, let me explain the theory behind this before we go on. Theory is pretty simple. If I would have said to the woman, women, your job is to make your husband happy. You know what? This is what the relationship would look like. The woman would make the man happy, and the man would be happy. He's going, yes, so? What's your point? Sounds pretty good. That's not such a terrible thing. The thing is that it doesn't make for a great relationship. So I tell the men, your job, make the woman happy. You do your job. You make the woman happy. Once you've made her happy and you've put that energy and you've made her happy, what's she going to do? Being a relationship being, she's going to take that happiness and she's going to... That's right. She's going to give it back. How much? As much? More. Way more. Women sell the man right now. How much more?
Way more.
As much? More? 10 times more? You see, men, you do your job. You make her happy. She takes that energy. She gives it back to you even more. So now let's see. You're looking. It's pretty good. You've done your job. You're making her happy. You see that she now takes that energy, she gives it back to you, and she makes you even happier. This is excellent. I made her happy, she made me even happier. What's the one thing, men, you must not do at this point? Think. Do not think. Do you know what happens when a man starts analyzing the relationship? What happens to that relationship? Oh my gosh, does it go sour? Guys start analyzing, trying to figure out the relationship, managing the relationship, managing. You know what, gentlemen, understand something. Ladies and gentlemen, understand something. There are three parts to every relationship. There's the man, his needs. There's the woman, her needs. And then there's the relationship, its needs. Men, what you need to do is just focus on the woman. Focus on her. Focus on her needs, and you just do your job and you make her happy. That's your focus. And allow her to then focus on you and the relationship. Let the relationship being, the woman, build the relationship. Focus on the relationship. You see, the relationship is either going to satisfy the woman's needs or the man's needs. That's how it works. The relationship is either going to represent a relationship that is focused on satisfying a woman, or the relationship is going to represent a relationship that focuses on satisfying a man. If the relationship is focused on satisfying the man and his needs and his world, the woman is going to be perpetually dissatisfied. But if the relationship is focused on satisfying the woman and her needs in her world, not only will she be satisfied, but he will be more satisfied than he ever dreamed of, because the relationship is going to be so much deeper than he would ever push it to be. Men, you do your job. You make her happy. You make her happy. She takes that happiness and she gives it back to you. She makes you even happier. You don't think. You don't analyze. You just keep on doing your job. You make her happy. She takes that energy and then she builds the relationship of your dreams. Any questions?
Was that simple? Why doesn't it happen?
If it's that simple, why doesn't it happen that way? That's the question. Because it's, even though this is a 3,500-year-old idea, it's revolutionary today. In the world we live in, most relationships don't work like that. Most relationships are, people are thinking it's a partnership. There's the man's needs, there's the woman's needs. We'll try and make the relationship be reflective of both. And what ends up happening is that the men's needs get satisfied more. The woman becomes perpetually dissatisfied. We're going to talk more about this during the 8 weeks. We'll talk more about it. Yeah.
It sort of seems a little superficial to me.
So the question is it would be extremely superficial if the idea was that you're satisfying, you are focusing only on the woman's needs and never getting to express your views within that relationship. Is that what you're saying? 100% true. 100% true. But you're married to a relationship being. What do you think is going to make her happy? I'll tell you something. That's a great point, because that gives me this is exactly where I'm going to tell you what we're going to be doing over the next 8 weeks. You see how that's not a concern. Over the next 8 weeks, what we're going to be talking about today and for next week, we're going to be discussing how to make a woman happy. The third week, we discuss for the woman what a woman needs to know about making a man, for making a man happy. The fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh weeks have to do with communication skills. Fourth and fifth week are communication themselves, very practical skills. The sixth week is how to have a good fight. This is very important in a relationship. The seventh week is intimacy, marital intimacy. And there we actually split up. The men, we go downstairs. The women stay here with my wife. And we actually talk about intimacy, and that's part of the communication section, because intimacy is communication. It's the deepest level of communication. And then the last week, we deal with the topic of love. So we're going to start getting much deeper and deeper as we go along. Right now, we just introduced the model. Okay, so we have any other questions? There's a doozy waiting for me out there. Question. Your job, men, to make the woman happy. When? All the time. What's the question? Thank you. How do you do it? How do you make a woman happy? How do you make her happy all the time? How do you make a woman happy all the time? I want to share with you a joke. The joke is about these three women who wanted to meet a man. They don't know where to go, but they hear about this club that has six levels. And in this club that has six levels, they decide that they're guaranteed to go meet a man. So they go there and they say to the concierge, which floor should we go on? We've heard there's different types of men on each floor. So the concierge says, well, why don't you start at one, work your way up. When you get out of the elevator, you'll see a plaque which tells you which kind of men are in each floor. So they start at level one. And they open it up, and there's a plaque there which says, well, on this floor you will find men that are short, fat, bald, ugly, horrible, insensitive, bad communicators, and generally not nice people. They go, oh, I don't like that one. They push two. They go out, there's a plaque. It says, on this floor you'll find men that are tall, handsome, poor, terrible communicators, insensitive, and generally horrible people. Oh, we don't like that. Three, four. They finally get to the fifth floor. In the fifth floor it says, on this floor you will find men that are tall, good-looking, rich, generous, sensitive, good communicators, nice to their mothers, and really nice people in general. Wow, that's fantastic. But there was a sixth floor. So they go back in the elevator. They push six. They say, we might as well see what's up there. And they get out of the elevator. And the sixth floor, there's a plaque which says, this floor was created just to prove there's no pleasing women. That's the question, the million-dollar question. How do you make a woman happy? How do you do it? How do you do it? So I want to tell you how I learned how to do it. And then we're going to go straight into the tools. How I learned how to do it. When I was first getting married, by the way, I'm married to a beautiful woman from Los Angeles. Her name's Jamie. And we have six wonderful children. We've been married 12 years. We just had our wedding anniversary last week. So I guess we're almost 13 then, right? we've been married 12 years. And when we first got married, I knew that I had no idea how to make this thing work. So I started seeking out wise people to ask advice on marriage. One of the people that I spoke to was actually after I was married, because I continue to do this to this day, was a very wise sage. His name was Rav Moshe Aaron Stern. Rabbi Stern was an incredible man. He's since passed away. incredible man, and we went to visit him in his yeshiva, his College of Jewish Study in Jerusalem. We went, myself and three friends, we sat down in his office, and he said to us, "You want to know how to make women happy? It's very simple. All you have to do are the three A's. Guaranteed to make any woman happy. The three A's." So, what do you think they are?
Affection.
That was very good. That was one of his.
Attention.
Attention. Apologize. He said, attention, affection, and appreciation. Attention, affection, and appreciation. If you give your woman, give your wife the attention that she needs from you, the affection that she craves from you, and the appreciation that she so rightly deserves from you, guaranteed to make her happy. Now, don't take my word for it. What I'd like you to do is turn to your wife and ask her. Say, "Honey, if I give you the attention, affection, and appreciation, will it make you happy?" Go ahead. I won't watch. Okay, so what'd they come up with? Uh-huh, of course. Absolutely. 100%. What, are you kidding? Attention, affection, appreciation. Please, if you give me the attention, affection, the attention I need, the appreciation that I deserve and the affection that I crave from you, of course it's going to make me happy. So, gentlemen, we're going to be focusing on today, for the rest of the time today, and for next week, we're going to be focusing on giving very practical tools for attention, affection, and appreciation. Now, when I fly all over the country, which I'm doing, I told you, 2 or 3 days a week, I'm in a different city, and I go to the cities, generally what I do is I'm there for an hour and a half or 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours. And I give over the model and I give over what we've been talking about with some tools. But they don't have the privilege, I guess it is, that we have of doing this in an 8-week series. Because what happens is that I give tools and those tools then become homework. So that we are now can practice those tools for a week. And then at the end of that week, we'll come back together and I'm going to ask you how to go for those tools. And if you do them over the 8 weeks, by the end of the 8 weeks, you will notice a remarkable difference. From wherever your relationship is, you'll notice a remarkable difference just by doing these simple tools. Not only are these tools simple and effective, but they actually come with a money-back guarantee. Guarantee 100%. That if you don't do them, they don't work. Guaranteed. And you should know about these tools that if you don't do them, if you don't start them tonight, you don't start them over the 8 weeks, you're not going to start them after you finish the 8-week program. So try it, and you'll see they're not so painful. So let's get started. We'll start from the beginning again. And just to make sure we're on the same page, and then we're going to get going. Men, women are?
Different.
How different?
Very.
What's the difference? Women are?
Relationship.
Men are?
Not.
Well, if men are not relationship beings, what do they need?
A job.
What's your job? To make your wife
happy.
When?
All the time.
All the time. How do you make your wife happy? Three A's. What are they? Tension, affection, appreciation. So let's start with some tools for attention. First tool for attention. Now, when I talk about attention, the first tool is what I call undivided attention. Undivided attention means that when your wife wants to talk to you about anything, she wants to discuss something with you, what should you do? Well, you got to listen. That's a good start. Give eye contact. Excellent. That's a tool we're going to use. What else? Turn off the TV. turn off. You know, she said turn off. She didn't say mute. I got that one. Turn off the TV. What else? Acknowledge what's being said. First thing we want you to do is turn off the TV, turn off the computer, put down the book you're reading, put down the newspaper, don't look at the mail, don't look at your emails. When she wants to talk to you, just, it's what I call, assume the position. Eye contact. Assume the position. And she wants to talk to you, you use that eye contact. You assume the position. A friend of mine was on a train from Kobe, Japan to Tokyo. It's an hour and a half bullet ride. And he said he was transfixed by a scene that was happening in the seats in front of him. He said this Japanese fellow sat down, and presumably his wife sat next to him. And he said that he put up his newspaper. And for an hour and a half, his eyes never left the newspaper. But he said what was really interesting is that his wife sat down next to him, and for an hour and a half, she didn't stop talking. So she's talking, and his eyes never left the newspaper. But he said the funny thing was that she would talk, and every 15 seconds, 45 seconds, whatever it may be, he would go, hi! Hi! He said this went on for an hour and a half. He said he couldn't read. He couldn't do anything. He was just transfixed with the scene. That's not undivided attention. Undivided attention would be if he would take the newspaper, he put it down, he turns to his wife, assumes the position, and listens to her. Now, I know what you guys are thinking. You guys are guys. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, you know, when she starts talking and I need to assume the position, well, that's not so bad. I mean, we could have eye contact and I could be thinking about something else. It's not so bad. Gentlemen, you got to appreciate your wife is a relationship being. She knows when you're spacing out before you do. I was walking in New York. And I had a cell phone, and I'm talking to my wife, walking down the street, and a New York scene erupted in front of me. It had to do with construction workers, and there was a bicycle. I didn't even know what was going on, but there was a ruckus over there on my left, and I'm talking to my wife, and I turned to see what was happening. And as soon as I turned, my wife said, are you listening to me? What? How did you know? She knows. She's a relationship being. So as soon as you start spacing out, she knows. So we'll talk about, and when we get to the communication section, we're going to talk about how to communicate, how to speak woman speak, how to get in there, how to really listen properly. But the first thing, the first tool is what we call eye contact. Eye contact. It's a very important tool. Homework assignment one. For the first week, you must spend 2 minutes a day with unbroken eye contact for 2 minutes a day. Now, it doesn't matter to me where or what you're doing when you do this eye contact. It makes absolutely no difference to me. You could be talking, silent, laughing. It doesn't make a difference as long as that eye contact for 2 minutes is not broken. And the idea is during those 2 minutes is the man will start to understand what undivided attention looks like when you need to speak to him. So we have homework for tonight and every. But what I'd like to do is I'd like you to do your homework tonight now. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. I'm going to time it. Everybody, you're going to spend 2 minutes with unbroken eye contact. And then your homework's done and you only have to do it tomorrow. So ready? Assume the position. Go. Okay, the time is up. How was it? It's work, yeah? You got to appreciate that's work. You have to do it. It's work. That's undivided attention. Undivided attention, that's what it looks like. Your wife, you know, thank God, you know, I have the six kids at home. And when my wife wants to talk to me, we have a busy house. But my kids know that when my wife wants to talk to me, I assume the position. And that doesn't matter what's going on. My wife wants to talk to me. She gets my attention. That's the atmosphere we've set up in our house. That's it. We listen, because I have a theory. Theory is that if that Japanese guy would have put down the newspaper, turned to his wife, looked her in the eyes, what would have happened? She probably would have... Yeah, she probably would have said what she needed to say. He listened the first time, and then he could have read his newspaper in peace for the last 1.5 minutes of the journey. Or whatever it may be. So that's it. Undivided attention, first tool. Second tool for attention. This tool is gold. This tool was given to me by the dean of Eish HaTorah, College of Jewish Studies. His name is Rabbi Noach Weinberg. And before I got married, as he does with a lot of the guys who study in his yeshiva, in his college, what he does is he'll meet with you for a couple hours, 2 or 3 times for a couple hours, and talk to you about marriage to get you, you know, wisdom passed on from his rabbi to him, from his rabbi's rabbi to all the way down. Incredible wisdom. One of the pieces of wisdom he gave me, I wrote it down and I sort of put it away. And a couple years into my marriage, I took out the book and read it, and I couldn't believe some of the stuff that was there. And this tool was one of them, and it's gold. This tool has changed relationships unbelievably. It's very simple. He said, Arye, when you get home from work, your wife is home. We're going to deal with the scenario if your wife gets home from work after you, or if you work together. We'll talk about those afterwards. But he said, when you get home from work and your wife is there, he said, take a look at your watch. Say it's 7:30. Look at your watch, 7:30, okay. And that's before you go in the door, you say, I'm not home for another 20 minutes. So I'm not home till 10 to 8. And then you walk in the door. Why? Because when you walk in for those first 20 minutes, they belong to your wife. For what? Whatever she wants. Whatever she wants to do, those first 20 minutes are hers. Now, what does a guy want when he gets home? He just had a hard day in the salt mines. What does he want to do? He wants to eat. Even before that, what do you want to do? Maybe go upstairs, take off his suit, put on his track pants, come down with that chair with the handle on it, hang out there, have a drink, read the newspaper, go through the mail, the emails. Who knows? He's got a billion things he wants to do to center himself when he gets home so he can unwind at home. Gentlemen, you're not home for the first 20 minutes. Those first 20 minutes belong to your wife. To do what? Whatever she wants. What kinds of things might she want to do? Talk about her day. Right? Absolutely. What else might you want to do? Maybe ask you to do something, depending on the stage of life. If you're newly married, she may want to talk. If you've got kids in the house, she may want help with the kids, a break, help with dinner, whatever it may be. She wants you to cook, whatever. Those 20 minutes belong to her. The kids out of the house or older kids, what kinds of things may she want you to do? Talk. Who knows? Whatever she wants, it's hers. It's her time completely. And a friend of mine, he's a fundraiser for an international nonprofit organization. This guy works hard. He's up at 5:30 in the morning. He's out of the house. He sometimes doesn't come home till 10 at night. And he works real hard. His wife told me this story. She said one day he came home from work. And he was exhausted. He walks in the door and he's sort of stumbling around. She says, hi, honey. And all he said was, couch. So she said, okay. He stumbled over the couch. He lies down on the couch. And she says to him, pulls up a chair. And she said, how was your day? So I'm too tired to talk. Really? Okay. Would you like a drink? Too tired to drink. Okay. The phone rings. She goes to get the phone. She comes back a couple minutes later, a few seconds later, with the phone. She says, honey, the phone's for you. She says, okay, I'll take it. She says, hello? All of a sudden, he jumps off the couch, and he says, hello! It was Mr. Jones. Who's Mr. Jones? his biggest donor. How are you? Absolutely no problem. Listen, I'll be there in about 15 minutes. Absolutely no problem at all. He puts the phone and says, listen, honey, Mr. Jones needs me to go and sign some papers. Got to get done tonight. Got to go. Be back in about an hour. See ya. And he starts walking out the door. As soon as he opens the door, as he's about to leave, he senses something behind him. Oh, yeah. His wife is standing there. She said, I wasn't upset. She said, I turned to him, she told me, and I told him, honey, all you've done now is show me how now you're going to greet me every day when you get home from work for the rest of your life. Because if you don't, what are you saying to me? I'm not as important to you as Mr. Jones. You see, you have to appreciate something, men. Now, all of us have clients, people that are really important to us. You know, no matter what your business is. Can you imagine coming home and you've got your biggest client behind the door and you're exhausted, you've had one of those days. Think about how you would walk in the door, knowing that your major client was behind the door. How would you walk through the door? Would you walk through the door and go, hey, Mr. Jones, look, I'm real tired. I had a hard day today. I'm just going to take off my suit, put on my track pants, go hang out in the chair, have a scotch, read the newspaper, take it easy for a little while, and unwind, and I'll be with you in a little while. You do that? Of course not. You would never, ever, ever do that to your biggest client. Gentlemen, let me remind you, what's your job? What's your most important job? To make your wife happy. Who's your biggest client? Your wife. Before you walk in the door, you do whatever you need to do to shake the cobwebs. Those first 20 minutes are hers. You walk in with enthusiasm. Hi, honey. Great to see you. What do you need? Now, why is that important? Why is that important? Because you've been away from her the entire day. You haven't seen her the whole day. And when you walk in and you walk into your house and you go, hey, nice to see you. I'm just going to go take care of myself. You're speaking a very loud message to your wife. But if you're there for her and you say, listen, I'm here for you 100%, first 20 minutes are yours. You're saying to her, I missed you. I was away from you the entire day. I missed you. Now that I'm home, I'm here for you. But I missed you. Actually, I had to be there. I had to go to that other place for those 12 hours of working when what I really wanted to do is be with you the entire day. But alas, I can't. So now that I'm home, I'm here for you. All right, that's a stretch. You got to make her feel that you missed her. You got to make her feel that you're there for her, that when you walk in the door, she's the most important thing for you. Now, let's deal with a couple issues that come around with this one always. The first issue is, what if the wife comes home from work after the husband? When do the 20 minutes start? When she gets home. What about if you guys work together? When do the 20 minutes start? When you both get home. Now you're getting it. What about if you work together out of the house? When do the 20 minutes start? When you make that separation between work and home. What about if you work really hard and there's no separation between work and home? Get a life. Make a separation. And those first 20 minutes belong to your wife. Any questions? Yes. The question is, what happens on the 21st minute? You look at your wife and you go, see ya! Have a good evening! No, you don't do that. What happens, the idea, it's a good question, because what happens is that you're building a mindset. That's really what you're doing. If you do those 20 minutes so that you're walking into your house and those first 20 minutes, your mindset is making my wife happy. Your mindset is I'm there for you. What will happen is that you will find that you will be there for her the entire evening. Not necessarily how intense it is for the first 20 minutes, but your mindset is, I'm there for my wife. I'm doing my job. Now, gentlemen, you have to appreciate that your wife is a relationship being. If you're exhausted, you know those times where you really are exhausted? She's a relationship being. She's going to want you to rest. There's certain times where your wife doesn't want you around for those 20 minutes. You know, you get home and she said, you say, I'm here for you. She says, so what? Go away. So those days, we call it a free pass. You do whatever your wife wants you to do. Those 20 minutes belong to her. Absolutely. Any other questions? Yeah.
I just want to say with eye contact, sometimes it's hard to always for 20 minutes. Even
the 20 minutes, it's... Let me just clarify.
I don't mean to stare away.
Eye contact is for 2 minutes. The 20 minutes is a different thing. It's not 20 minutes of eye contact. Okay? It's not 20 minutes of eye contact. That's just a tool for a week, the 2 minutes of eye contact. By the way, how long do you have to do this tool for? The 20 minutes. That's right. This isn't for a week. This is forever. So start getting into the habit. Start getting into the habit tomorrow. Yeah.
Why 20 minutes? Why not 30 minutes or 15 minutes?
It works. The question was, why 20 minutes? Why not 30 minutes or 15 minutes? 20 minutes is enough time that it is substantial, but it's not enough time that it's, how can I put it, overkill. Just it's enough time that it's substantial, I've set the precedent, and I know what my evening's going to be. That's it. It really works. It's a tremendous tool. Yeah. Question is, why the first 20 minutes when he gets home? Why don't you let him unwind a little bit and then get your 20 minutes later? Because we're building a mindset. If he knows that when he gets home, it's all about him, that attitude is going to continue for the rest of the night. He has to walk in the door knowing his mindset. Question is, do you count the cell phone ride on the way home when you're talking to her on the way home? No. No. And if you need a break, if you need to unwind, and if you really had one of those days where you really need to unwind, get home 10 minutes later. Park the car around the block. Sit in your car for those 10 minutes. Put the music on. Relax. Run around the block. Do whatever you need to do so that when you walk in there, you're there for her for those 20 minutes. Yeah. 20 minutes do not count on weekends, right? Unless you're working. But they do not count on weekends. This is for when you get home from work, when you've been separated from each other. Okay?
Yeah, obviously, you can take your coat off.
Attention. First tool for attention was 20 minutes undivided attention. 2 minutes undivided attention, eye contact. Next tool, 20 minutes. First 20 minutes you get home belong to your wife. Phil. Excellent question. The question is, what happens if you get home and you have children in the house who demand your attention at the same time? That's an excellent question. Do three teenagers trump six kids, 11 and under? Oldest, youngest one's one? No, probably not, right? So generally what happens when I get home is I love it. When I get home, hi, Abba's home, and all of a sudden there's a stampede of little feet, blah, 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 and then all of a sudden they come running and they're hugging me different heights of my body. Allah, I'm telling you, it's the most beautiful part of my day. As soon as we have the hugs and kisses, hi, how are you, kiss, hug, 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 my kids part like the Red Sea, and my wife has come, and my wife gets those 20 minutes. My kids know. Generally speaking, my wife uses those 20 minutes to whatever she wants. Sometimes it includes talking. Sometimes it doesn't. But if it does include talking, my kids know she gets first after the hellos. You train your family that way. Absolutely. Yeah. Takes time. Okay, let's go to the third tool for attention. The third tool for attention is that you must take your wife's call at work. When your wife calls you, her call is the most important call at work. Now, there's a story told about this man who lives in Toronto. He's a billionaire businessman. He lives in Toronto. He's a real estate developer. And they tell a story about he was sitting at a board table, and there were people from other countries, and they were negotiating a deal, and there were hundreds of millions of dollars flying across the table in an intense negotiation. You can imagine. And the phone rang. And it was his wife. So she goes through, they go, hello. She says, gentlemen, I'm really sorry. This is extremely important. Would you excuse me for a minute? They go, oh, absolutely. He goes, okay, just one second. He pulls out a pen from his pocket and eggs, cheese, lettuce. And he goes through the shopping list and he puts it back in his pocket and he goes, okay, thank you very much. I love you too. Bye. Gentlemen, where were we? Your wife calls, no matter what she calls about, her call is your most important call at work. Put it through. Tell your secretary, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Put her through. Okay, there are exceptions. For example, let's say you're a brain surgeon. And there's a skull open in front of you, and you're about to go into a frontal lobe, and the phone rings. There, perhaps you could say, take a message. But short of that, why not take your wife's call at work? Why not? What could prevent you? Anybody here a salesman? Salesperson of some kind? Of course, right? Some kind of a salesman. Imagine you're in a sales meeting and you're talking to a client and you have your cell phone and it buzzes. So you say to the guy, I never take calls at work. I never ever would unless it's my wife. And you look down and you see on the display it's my wife. And would it be okay with you if I took this call? It's from my wife. Sure, and you take it and you go, hello, absolutely. Listen, I'm in a very important meeting right now. Is it okay if I call you back in half an hour? It's important. I'll deal with it now, but is it okay? Yeah, fantastic. I love you too. I'll speak to you in half an hour. Put the phone on. How many people think that if you had a salesperson like that dealing with you, that you would say, get out of my office? Don't want to deal with you. How dare you take your wife's call while you're with me? Of course not. If I, their salesperson, did that, I would go, wow, this is the kind of person that I would want to be in a relationship, business relationship with. Look how he treats his wife. That's a fantastic thing. You have to take your wife's call at work. Right. So if you work for somebody, so it's not so simple that you can just take calls from your wife all the time because you work with somebody. Ask them. Say, I never take personal calls, but if my wife calls, I'd like permission to let her through. And if it's really important, I have to deal with it. But if not, I'll call her back at lunchtime or during my break. Ask them. Why not? No one said a lawyer. He was looking at me like when I said this, like it was from Mars. And he said, well, what are you talking about? Don't you understand that I'm billing hours? And it's not fair to my clients if I'm billing hours if my wife calls to take the call. I said, mister, just don't bill those few minutes that you're talking to your wife. Oh, I see. Oh, never occurred to him that. You know what? Take her call. Take her call at work. When you take your wife's call at work, what does it say to her? She is the most important thing, way more important than your work. You must take a call at work. Now, I appreciate, gentlemen, there are certain times in every one of our jobs where there is a moment where the skull is open. In all of our jobs. For example, me, one of the things I do is I do counseling, relationship counseling. And I can just imagine, you know, there's a couple sitting in front of me. And they are screaming and crying and hysterical. I hate this. Can't believe what he does to me. And the phone rings. And it's my wife. They scream and cry. I go, oh, hi, honey. Googie boogie, I love you. Oh, it's me. I appreciate that that would be inappropriate. So for me, that would be a time where I'd say that's a skull open moment in my job. And we all have that in our jobs. So you have to know. But those are rare. Take your wife's call at work. The funny thing starts happening when you start taking your wife's call at work when she knows that she can get through to you any time. She calls less. She calls less. Why? I have no idea. I'm just a knot. Okay, I think we're going to stop here tonight. It's the first time we're going to get our muscles going a little bit. I just want to do a quick review, what we got, what the homework is for next week. And next week I'll tell you what we're going to be doing. So let's just go through it one more time, folks. Men and women are?
Different.
How different?
Very
different. What's the difference? Women are relationship beings. Men are?
Not.
Well, men are not relationship beings. What do they need?
Job.
A job. Men, what is your job? Make my wife happy. When? All the time. How do you make your wife happy? Three A's. What are they? Attention, affection, appreciation. Tonight we did the tools for attention. First tool for attention was undivided attention, eye contact. Homework, 2 minutes every day for the next 7 days. Find the time to have unbroken eye contact. Second tool, 20 minutes. First 20 minutes belong to your wife when you get home from work or when she gets home from work. First 20 minutes belong to her. The third tool is take your wife's call at work. Next week, we're going to be discussing affection and appreciation. So do your homework. Get it done. Men, do your job. And we'll see you all next week. Thank you very much.
We hope you've enjoyed this free MP3. Please be sure to tell your friends about happywife.com.